The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 26. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land, that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose, to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who was in office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers. And the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God, and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love.
The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has made up his mind. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all your generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this sacrifice, they will glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ, and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. This is the word of the Lord.
Oh,
thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. You may be seated. Always for the eve of Thanksgiving, there's two options you can follow in the lectionary. One is the day of Thanksgiving, and the gospel reading is the 10 lepers and the one who returns back to Jesus giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. We have that reading in the lectionary in the church year. And so these readings tonight also go with a harvest celebration. There's a overlap that goes with those things. But tonight we see in that gospel reading, it's one of those parables that hits you between the eyes, but in a bit of a roundabout way. Now listen again to what Jesus said. "And he told them a parable saying, 'The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?'" Now let that sink in for a minute and pay attention to what Jesus is saying here in this account. The context is also helpful, which is giving at the beginning of, as the people are, they're squabbling over this inheritance, right? You have this man who comes to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, tell my brother to give me a share of the inheritance," right? Because if you're ever having an argument with your sibling, you go to mom or dad. So what's better than going to Jesus to get him to settle it and tell your brother to do something for you? But Jesus won't have it. He rebukes them. He, in a sense, tells them, "You're missing the point. If you were really looking at the inheritance or the things of this world rightly, you wouldn't be fighting over it, but seeing ways in which you can love and serve each other. You wouldn't be coveting what you don't have, but content with what you do." So here, then, the man in the parable. He shows something that is completely relatable and pokes a nerve a bit. Now, he's different than the prodigal son who went off and blew his inheritance on ungodly things and then ended up in the mud eating the pods that the pigs eat. No, this guy is successful. He has a successful and a good yield of crops. So in the eyes of the world, this man does a wise thing. What am I going to do with all this? I need bigger barns. I need bigger storehouses. So let's tear them down. Let's build these things. He guards and keeps what he has and now takes some time, sit back, relax, enjoy life. He's set and good to go. But something interrupts his celebration. And rather, someone interrupts him. God comes. And God says something to him. And did you catch what the first word is out of God's mouth? It doesn't call him by name. He doesn't say, hey, what's going on? No. God addressed him emphatically, fool. Now, I don't know about you, but you don't have to be a world-renowned theologian to interpret what this means. When God comes to someone and the first word out of God's mouth is to call that person a fool, that's not good. And it's quite telling what the rich man says. Before this, he has ample goods laid up for many years, and his confidence and excuse for complacency are all that he has done well for himself. So when God calls him a fool and requires his life, this man faces death. And what is he to do? So why does God call this man a fool? Now, the only other place in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where Jesus uses this specific word is in Luke 11, and it's spoken directly to the Pharisees. The word can mean one who lacks in judgment or even lacks in prudence. We heard this past Sunday, in the last Sunday of the church year, of the wise virgins who were prudent. They were thinking ahead to the future. They were looking to these things and preparing. So despite the appearance of the situation, this guy who has this bountiful harvest and prepares everything, the man isn't really thinking for the future. And so God comes to the man, and death is upon him. So the sucker punch in the parable isn't so much about the arrival of death, but God's rebuke. The rebuke of the man as his soul is required of him, and God calling him these things causes us to stop and look at our lives and examine what God is teaching us. We see greed is deadly, plain and simple. The man had a surplus. He had more than he needed, and rather giving away to those in need or something else along those lines, he delighted in this surplus and keeping it to himself. His delight was found in his treasure, which he stored up. So Jesus concludes the parable by saying, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. God orients you tonight to see who you are. He calls you to see where your treasure is to be, and herein you see the wisdom that comes from above. And to do that, look at the reading and ask some important questions about what occurred in the parable. Go back fundamentally. Who granted the success? Who gave the man the grain and the goods? Clearly the answer is God. We know that. And while that may sound simple and trite, it's vitally important for you and your life as your life as well. Right after our reading, right after it ends, our gospel reading, in the very next two verses, Jesus makes another statement to the disciples, and he says this, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. That's Luke's parallel of what you hear in Matthew's gospel. And so then that section in Luke, right after our reading, ends with Jesus saying, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so treasuring something is more than just a fondness. It's a trust. It's a value assigned to the extent that you would sacrifice a great deal, maybe even your life, rather than give it up. So it's no wonder then in our reading today and even after this, Jesus is teaching us these things. And as we think about Thanksgiving, and we look at our lives, we think about who you are in this world and what you have in this world and what this all means. We take stock of our money, our possessions, our property, and whatever else we may have in our lives, and we look at them. And when we think about them all, the first question we ask ourselves is, where are they from? In 1 Corinthians 4, God, through St. Paul, asked the rhetorical question, what do you have that you did not receive? The answer is known. It's nothing. Everything you have received in some way, and going all the way back to God. So in your eyes, in your lives, you see that everything is given to you by God, the one whom you call Father, and who takes care of you as his children. And taking things to another level, your very existence in this life is given by God. Job confessed this when he confessed, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Or when you pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," you as Christians know where your daily bread comes from and to whom you are to give thanks. Or in the first article, you know the Lord is your creator and he sustains you in this world and into eternity, and that all this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. And so first and foremost, God points you then to the eternal things. You face the ugliness of this fallen world in many ways, often on a daily basis. We see this, sin, death, the power of the devil, they're very real. When we look at the world around us, we see that these things and the danger that exists for us as the baptized children of God. And so where is our treasure? Well, the ultimate gift you have is eternal life in Christ. Jesus is your treasure. The gift won and worked for you by God himself. The Father who created you, redeemed you by the blood of Christ, and gives you salvation by the Holy Spirit through his word and sacraments. The Lord is the one who has done this graciously, who forgives you all your sins, gives you life and salvation. Here is a treasure that moth or rust can't destroy, and it lasts unto everlasting life. You don't give it up when you die, and your soul is required of you. And it doesn't change even as you go through this world in times of lack or suffering. You can look back at your lives and see times maybe where you face difficulties in more than one way, either physical or spiritual. Times when you weren't like this man, and you weren't having an abundance of a harvest of whatever it may be. And you can look back at those things and still see that God preserved you through it. The providence of God is something which looks back on those matters, and though you didn't realize at the time, you see the evidence of these things being used for your good. It doesn't mean that you always know the reason why or understand always how this all fits together, but you see the Lord was faithful. The Lord gave you these things. The Lord treasured you, and he is your treasure. So being thankful fits into all this as we gather here tonight. The people of Israel suffered to be sure, but the Lord took care of them and eventually led them into the land which he had promised. He humbled them for their good, and through Moses he reminded them of his care, his work for them, and even what still awaited them. The fatherly care of the people served them well, even in times of trial, even in times of discipline. God gave them their daily bread, taking care of his creation. He was fulfilling his promises to them and was laying before them a future. And so there is thankfulness in trusting God's work, past, present, and future, knowing that all that you have comes from him, and seeing all that has its perfection in the work of Jesus by his perfect, obedient life and his atoning death. God proclaims this to you, just as Jesus is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. And so God calls you to trust his word. He calls you to turn from your sin. He calls you to fear him above all things. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. He calls you to hear his voice. It's the same Lord who redeemed you by the blood of Christ, who washed you clean in baptism, who preaches to you his word, who feeds you at his supper, who is your Father yesterday, today, and forever. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. So give thanks to God this night, tomorrow, and the days ahead, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. He He truly has and continues to do marvelous things. Cling to his word of promise and look to the future glory to come where the feast never ends and all of God's people are not apart and distant, but together with the Lord for all eternity. Thanks be to God for such a future that we have as we gather tonight and every day. Rejoice in Christ who heals and makes all things new as you are his new creation, washed clean and an heir of eternal life. And there's a new life that you have in all of this as well, as your treasure is Jesus, and you live in love toward your neighbor. In the epistle reading, God inspired St. Paul to write, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that having all sufficiency in all things and at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." So going back to that parable then, the desire for your life as a Christian is that your heart be grateful and cheerful when God gives the abundance or when God gives just what you need for that day. And you look outside of yourself when it comes to the harvest you reap. Sin turns inwardly, but we see the love that God gives us in our lives to show to our neighbor, sees what we have, the abundance that we have, the mercy we've been shown, and shows it in turn to those around us. So rather than a spirit of coveting what your neighbor has or storing up for yourself an insane amount of wealth and possessions, see the love of Christ in these things. See, whatever you have as a gift from God, giving to God and your neighbor comes from a new heart given by the Holy Spirit. And as a Christian, you delight in giving and serving your neighbor, not seeing it as a burden, but a delight, being a cheerful giver. God teaches you this, and the Lord desires your heart to have a spirit of giving not out of compulsion and guilt, rather in joy. And so, instead of being a fool, instead of storing up treasure for the sake of yourself, you are wise in the use of what God gives. Because you know that any minute the Lord could require your life of you and all of these things. And all the stuff, all these things, the mammon in your life is for nothing. Now to be sure you don't squander these things away or let them fall to the wayside, God calls you to be good stewards of whatever he has given you in your homes, church, and society. But at the end of the day, these things are not your security or your worry, as Jesus continues to speak right about this after the reading tonight ends. The one thing that is truly needful and eternal is the salvation won for you in Christ. Having the Lord, having God's mercy in him and everything, and the true treasure that is yours in your Savior Jesus. So rejoice tonight, rejoice tomorrow, give thanks to God in all circumstances. Fix your eyes on him, the Lord who has given you everything that you need and continues to do so each and every day. Rejoice and give thanks, for he is your treasure, and you are his, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen.